Let me all encourage you once again, because this sermon series is a little bit different. I want, if you hear me say something that doesn't quite fit for you, engage me in conversation, because you may hear something I don't mean to say. There are some times that I've bulletproofed sentences and I feel really good about them, and there are other times I'm going, where the heck am I going to get imagery that makes this make sense? And so I'm doing the best I can, but don't, I feel like a sense of dialogue on some of this would be helpful for some of us. So just wanted to leave that with you. We started a sermon series entitled Great Themes of Scripture. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about how important starting with Scripture is and what that means. I believe that sermon is posted. If you have questions about that one, I'd be glad to engage you in that one as well. We called that one, I think, Starting with the Book. And one of the things we talked about was the fact it behooves us to try to interpret Scripture today the way Jesus interpreted the Scripture of his day. And that meant he did accent some things, and he did diminish some other things, and he summarized 50.1% of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, in two verses. Love the Lord your God with all your, and your neighbor as yourself. In this is the law and the prophets. Well, you take the law and you take the prophets, and it's 50.1% of all the words in the Hebrew Scriptures. And last week, we used the imagery of a mirror. Based on that verse from Genesis 1 about humanity being created in the image and likeness of God. Let us create humanity in our image and likeness. And I said that those two words are distinct, that image means who we are being-wise, just as we exist. We are created in the image of God. And likeness was that sense of mimicking you do when a child mimics the behavior of an adored adult. So there's you look like and you act like. Is the intention of God creating us. That we, in a sense, recognize that we are, in our truest self, an image bearer of who God is. Does that cause you to pause and carry a certain burden of responsibility? It's a good thing that we get to look at lots of examples and then try to figure it out, not based on just me. Right? The image and likeness of God, that we are all, that there's a sense in which life itself, all of creation is a mirror of God. This week, the great and broad theme of Scripture that I want us to look at is the great oneness. It's a theme that starts at the very beginning of Scripture and goes to the very end. The starting point that I see of this particular piece of Scripture, or this particular theme, is in Genesis, where we're going through the creation steps and it says God separates light from darkness. When God separates stuff, it says, and it was good, not very good. There's a sense in which the separatingness is not the ideal. And so lots of themes keep coming back around and putting the pieces back together. It's a very interesting part of the human predicament, because we spend much of our lives, trying to do something or be something to distinguish ourselves. Through our work, or through the way we raise our kids, or through our service, we want our lives to mean something, like, somehow, if we don't win a championship or a Nobel Prize or make a million by the time we're 40, our life is a waste. But Scripture does not encourage us to go out and make a name for ourselves. We don't need to ever complete a marathon or read so many books or get a certain degree, but it says over and over to be connected to each other. Be connected to God. And in us, there is this longing to be connected. So Scripture says it, and life says it in us. And sometimes it's hard for us to identify, and sometimes we make very interesting decisions because we're trying to fulfill that longing of being connected. When we are very young, we do not differentiate ourselves in any way. We are almost, I mean, best I can phrase this, as a one-year-old, in terms of our ego and our identity, we are undefined. We're just, the best we can do is be a reflection of our parents or that significant other that we're connected to deeply. We are, at that point in our lives, we are more mirror than we are portrait. Then as we get older, we start to see that some people notice clothes and stuff. And in order to feel connected and not exiled, we begin trying to fit in. And others start to help us define ourselves. At some point, we try to belong by being unique and having our own style, which is a hilarious part. I'm going to fit in because I'm different. All right. Many persons seem to deep dive into being unique so that they can feel connected and loved because they want to feel uniquely loved. It's still about connecting. At that point in our lives, we begin to paint our own self-portrait that we hope that God will put on God's fridge. All the while, God has already hung God's portrait of us on God's fridge since creation and has been admiring us and longing to connect to us since that moment when life began. Scripture and the universe keep trying to tell us that there is this great unity of the universe. If you're geeky enough, then Einstein's E equals MC squared ought to get you a little bit along the road of this great sense of unity. In a sense, all matter is energy and all energy can be converted to matter, and so it's all this one. Doesn't that make your brain want to? The Big Bang starts us from something unified, from a oneness, by a oneness. So I want to throw out some different things from Scripture to give you places where I think that this resonance, this second verse or third verse of this song is sung. But you probably can think of some other ways as well. My list is not comprehensive. I want you to think, where in Scripture is there this sense that we're meant to be connected as one? So I've already mentioned in creation the separation of light from darkness, day from night. There's also a passage in the next scripture, in the next creation story in the Garden of Eden, with the tree that gets us in trouble. Do you know what the tree that gets us in trouble is? The knowledge of what? When we start distinguishing good from evil, when we separate good from evil, we start down the wrong path. And I'm not sure that that's not part of what Jesus is referring to when he says, don't judge. Don't compare. Don't compare and contrast. Be one. Be connected. There's this lovely story about the Tower of Babel. You remember that story, right? Building a tower that's big enough so that we can go and be of different, well, God strikes us into differences, different languages. But I want you to remember that Pentecost is almost like turning the Tower of Babel upside down and putting it back right. Pentecost, Acts 2, is a coming back around to reconnecting. Let's see. I also have in Romans that Christ is the restoration of Adam. There, I've got in Romans that nothing can separate us from God's love. And since God is who God, that love is who God is, there's a sense in which nothing can separate us from God. The definition of sin is the state of separation from God, not little moral bad acts, the saying just the wrong thing at just the right time. There is a sense in which the state of separation we call sin is the wandering in the spiritual wilderness or the desert, far from connection. So every time there's this longing to get through the desert or the wilderness into something else, I think that's the journey to wholeness, healing, restoration, forgiveness, fellowship, community. I'm sure that there's some place in this book that says something about there being one body, one baptism. Am I right? One spirit, one body of Christ, one love. I also think that the I am the vine passage reminds us that we at times are branches, but the same set of roots, that common root connection, leads us to that sense of oneness. There's something in Scripture that says when one suffers, we all suffer. And I can't help but remind you that constantly there's something about the plural you, that y'all ends up almost in every statement. There is a sense of community. The children of Israel, the body of Christ, there is a oneness to who we are. One reality. A union with God. On that day, John 14, 27, on that day, what day is that? On that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. I think that new day, that day in that passage is when we finally get it. And on that day, you'll know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. And so there's this gravitational or magnetic pull that pulls us all towards each other. This longing for healing and wholeness. A both and rather than an either or. We're not trying to carve off ourselves as a separate cell or a separate atom because we can't exist without the whole body. Part of our struggle, I think, is that we still have this rugged Western individualism that we're going to do it ourselves. But almost all of the Old Testament was about community. It wasn't about doing it yourself. It was about being connected. The win-lose scenario constantly ends up with people losing. Comparing and contrast leaves with folks losing, and I don't think that having winners and losers does that common bond. I think that separates us. So here's the metaphor that I want to use this week. Last week it was a mirror. This week I want to use the metaphor of a puzzle. And if we want to get really sophisticated, it could be a puzzle made out of a mirror. That would really mess us up. How would you do that? How would you make a puzzle out of a mirror? Because almost all of what we do to put it back together is based on the coloration, what we can see. Just want you to spend some time. There's a sense in which your unique piece, that oneness that you think is just your own personal identity, doesn't make a difference until it's part of the big puzzle. That unity of puzzle. You get to be part of it, but you don't get to be all of it. And without all of us, there's no big picture of the puzzle. So today I want to use puzzle. We have a tendency every time we go on vacation to spend some quality time doing puzzles. Anybody else do lots of puzzles? Somehow or another, I was trying to figure out how to make end pieces and corner pieces make a difference in my imagery, but I can't. So mirror, puzzle, that's what you got. Could it be that the goal for God is for all of us to end up with all the pieces in all the right places, doing all the right thing, one unified picture. I was reading the book Everywhere Always, thank you very much, by Bob Goff, and one of the things he said that really resonated for me, and I wanted to make sure I put it in here, and I'm not sure how many times I'll come back to this. The phrase was, we are all tied for first in God's eyes. Isn't that beautiful? We're all tied for first in God's eyes. So how do we try to get our arms around this grand theme, this great theme in Scripture? Let me remind you that the trueness of this is in part that we are unique and we're meant to be connected. Without God, we don't exist. We are wholly dependent and connected to God, even when we are not aware of God. We are grounded in God. God is our roots. So why is this important? It's woven throughout Scripture. Why is it important? One thing is it reminds us to live in community and in connection to God. And there are times, I would think, that your brain and your soul and your emotions is leaning into that connection anyway. Do you find yourself longing for deep connection? I think that's part of this great theme. This is part of who God is. To allow for that longing without trying to fill it up with stuff, because sometimes we find unhealthy relationships that will take care of that longing as a quick fix. I think that that being aware of this great theme, that we're all intended to be connected and there's this great oneness, allows us to raise connected kids who can be healthy, thriving, God-connected adults. And I think the other thing it reminds us to do is it reminds us to search for connections rather than comparing and contrasting, so that we can tell that we're all different and who's winning and who's losing. That phrase keeps echoing in my mind, something about if you want to gain your life, if you want to get a real sense about what life means, you have to lose it. If you want to understand God's mirror, you got to quit drawing on the face of the mirror the picture of yourself that you think exists. The search for connection is different than comparing and contrasting, so we can tell we are different. I think we get lost in a win-lose world, that we want to be better than others. And if we're in that world, we're already losing. That tied for first thing really sinks. The only way we win is when we are all tied for first. If you wish to have true life, lose your ego life. Our ego life gets in the way of being connected. All right, did I confuse anybody? Did I make any sense at all? Does it feel like that's a woven theme throughout Scripture? Words like forgiveness and restoration and fellowship and community, those are all oneness words. Love and relationship, oneness words. Redeemed, saved, oneness words. I can't help but think, do you think that our cells inside our bodies are competing for who gets to be most important, our liver cells or our brain cells? And our oneness in God is us trying to one-up the liver cell or the brain cell or the skin cell. Paul's imagery about the body of Christ is a fabulous thing. How are we one? I think we're one in the fact whose we are. Our oneness is we are God's. Let us pray. Gracious God, this theme feels like it's like we're trying to grab a hold of fog and mist. It's hard to really get a handle on, but we see it woven in the concept of children of Israel, body of Christ, communion of saints, the ways in which we are universal church together. Help us as we re-engage each other and we re-engage Scripture that we see this theme the way you intended this theme to appear. We trust you and we love you. And we just want to be the mirror puzzle piece that you need us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.